It is 12 minutes after 8 a.m. on your Wednesday morning. I'm finally here past 8 o'clock. Michael's getting a little break here. He'll be back for your midday music mix. But I do have a guest with me this morning. I have Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty. Good morning.
Good morning. Am I set right now?
It's our microphone's being a little lazy and wanting to be dippy today.
Yeah.
So how have things been going over the last month?
Well, you know, busy as usual. I wasn't here after the fair last month?
Yes, you came after the fair. We talked
and that
after
seems
the fair.
Like that was 6 months ago.
Right?
I don't know. So yeah, for, you know, call volume last month in August, 105 calls. That brings us up to 914 for the year. That's we're close to 100 more calls this year than we were last year. So, been very busy this year. Just about every month, it's mostly EMS calls. 84 of those 105 were EMS calls. We didn't have any major incidents or fires. We did go assist a couple neighboring departments with some fires last month, but yeah, nothing too crazy. You know, we helped did our stuff at the Holmes County Fair. Obviously West Holmes football started, so we do standby there as well as the other departments that are part of West Holmes, Kilbuck, Glenmont, and the Western Holmes Fire District. We all take in that one of the football games and do standby there. So that started. Then we did, you know, Lieutenant Hott's funeral service. We were part of the night when he came home, setting up our flag with the ladder truck and service up at the fairgrounds. And then on the Tuesday that went to the cemetery, us in East Holmes set up the flag just south of Holmesville as he was headed to Prairie Township Cemetery. So
that was very much appreciated, and it looked excellent. It was
a great
addition.
Yeah, I think the family appreciated it, and it just added a little more to the, you know,
recognizing his service.
Yeah, and, you know, it was the least we could do for that. So, yeah, just a lot of things like that keeping us busy, and it just continues into September, and then it'll be Fire Prevention Month, and then it's, you know, winter.
Let's not say the bad W word. We're just gonna
we're
enjoying this fallish weather. But we were kind of talking a little bit ago before we came live that though we've been having gorgeous sunshine, perfect temperatures, it's getting a wee bit dry out there.
Yeah, so it's, you know, we're getting close to that time again. October and November is, you know, Ohio does another burn ban. But we are very, very dry. And we were like that this last spring. If you remember, we were very dry. And we were doing a lot of field fires, brush fires.
We were dry last fall, too, I think.
Well, yeah. But it seemed like this spring was...
For
a spring, it was pretty bad, and, you know, we're kind of in that same boat again. Well, we wouldn't be in a boat because it's that dry.
We're in that desert again.
Yeah. So everything is, you know, very, very dry, and as we get into leaves falling and wanting to burn those up, that's the only way we can get rid of those. And we're going to probably be busy coming up here at the end of this month through October. So we got to just, you know, really use caution and pay attention to the weather, pay attention to the wind. The wind is what really
does you in.
Right. It's that you think it's calm and then the wind picks up and it pushes it into a field or into the woods. And before you know it, it is, you know, a couple acres on fire and it moves quick. So, you know, just keeping that in mind, staying with it, you know, I'm praying for a day or two of just all day rain here soon, but
not in the next 7 days.
No, definitely not. So, yeah, probably be playing those ads again of telling you not to burn, and we'll be talking about it and you'll hear about it. But we really got to be mindful going into this fall the way it looks. So,
And things dry out super. They're so dry. Like once you pull them or whatever, that's more dry. So it's.
Yeah, and even you know,
pay attention
with rain. You know, yeah, it makes the ground wet, but all that brown vegetation on top, you know, it dries out quick on a you might have a rainy day the day before, and then a day like we've been having of sun and a little bit of wind, and that stuff has dried right out again. And I mean, we've had to do field fires that, you know, the ground is pure mud because we're trying to drive in it and everything else, and it is soaking wet, but the vegetation on top is so dry. And like I said, it moves so rapidly that a lot of times we're just, you know, trying to cut it off from getting any farther, but it takes a lot of manpower and a lot of resources, you know, to get ahead of it and to stop it. So
if you can utilize your leaves in a different way other than burning them, it will be very beneficial to not letting it get out of hand.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously in the villages, you know, there's no open burning anyway at any time. And most of the villages, I think, you know, do a leaf cleanup, and, you know, you just take advantage of that. And everywhere else, I know it's, you know, if you mulch them up, or if you have somewhere to take them, or, you know,
if you have a friend that gardens, yeah, I'm sure they would totally appreciate them.
Well, I know, just, you know, I've helped in the village of Holmesville collecting leaves, and there's people that absolutely want those leaves that get picked up on the curb. So there's people that take leaves and want them in their gardens. And so if you can find somebody like that or some other way to get rid of them other than burning, that'd be awesome. But
if you're going to burn, have the hose ready.
Yeah, it's just
monitor.
Paying attention to that weather. Don't leave it unattended.
Make sure it's completely out before you walk away.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we find that too, of burning something like that. You think it's out, you know, you don't see flames. And, you know, I kind of go back to, well, it was last fall that we got a call up to the medical building here in Millersburg, and there was a tree on fire. And we get up there, it's like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and the whole section of landscaping is completely burned. All the shrubs, the tree, and why is this random square of landscaping in an all concrete parking lot, you know, paved parking lot? And so we kind of go back in the security camera, and sure enough, we can see where a cigarette was thrown down 5 hours earlier, and it just sat in the mulch for 5 hours, and then the wind picked up and it was able to ignite that mulch. And within 2 minutes, there was six or seven shrubs gone, and a, you know, a good sized pine tree gone. And, you know, fortunately it didn't go any farther and get closer to the building, but that stuff will just sit there and wait for the right time to go, especially when it's dry.
So that's a good point to make, too, for those who are smokers.
Yes.
To not be chucking those lit cigarettes out and about in this dry landscape.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, that one sat there for 5 hours before it lit up the entire landscape. And I had it in my mind that it was probably the cause. I didn't think it was 5 hours earlier that the cigarette butt went into the mulch. But, yeah, it was a wake-up call for us and, you know, the medical building we're going to pay attention to that and make sure we have the, you know, proper disposal receptacles for cigarettes. And, you know, that's something to definitely keep in mind for people that smoke.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what else do we got?
Well, I think we'll talk a little bit about last night.
Yeah.
So we had the odor of natural gas in the village of Millersburg,
all over.
Yeah, it seemed like it. And it was earlier in the evening, we had a call for the smell of natural gas on County Road 58 near County Road 68. And crews arrived there, found, they could obviously smell it, and found a private well pump. I don't know what the technical term of what the equipment was, but they could hear hissing nearby. So they made contact with the number that was there, well tender, I guess, you know, came out at some point, must have either secured the leak, or if it was some type of blow off valve, it quit. But about an hour after that initial call, we started getting calls in some of the restaurants on the south end of Millersburg, they could smell natural gas. So, you know, our dispatchers at the sheriff's office told them to exit the building. They weren't sure if it was inside the building at that time, if that's where the leak was coming from. Our crews go back down. I came in. We also had Jason Troyer from EMA came in because we started getting more and more calls. You know, we got in the area, could obviously smell it. When I came in, I could smell it at Jackson Street coming in from the north. Checked the, you know, entire area, checked everything that we knew in the village that was related to natural gas, the pumps they have, went back out to that where the initial call was, couldn't hear anything, actually couldn't smell it anymore there. I did some hiking up in the woods behind Family Eye Care, and you know, we had a known line up there that a year ago we had a leak. Checked that, there was nothing. Checked, you know, sewer plant, everything around that we could think of. We're not finding anything. Northeast Ohio Gas was called early on. They got there. They weren't reporting anything that they could find that was a leak. So, you know, during this time then, you know, the odor is gone from the south end of Millersburg. We're getting a couple more calls up into town and people, you know, having, you know, they have a headache or concerns about it. We're checking all those out. You know, we checked, went through, monitored the initial businesses on the south end. Weren't finding any levels that were dangerous inside. We let those go back in. They could start operating again. All the places, any residents we went to, checked all those. Weren't finding any dangerous levels. The only conclusion we came is that that initial call, that initial well had a leak, and the, you know, the wind speed was 1 mile per hour moving toward Millersburg. And our assumption is it was just from that initial leak, and the smell just kind of hung
made
out.
Made a little pocket. And
yeah. Whoop. And it, you know, usually natural gas dissipates pretty quickly. It's lighter than air. If it was just the right weather conditions, it kind of kept it, you know, in the valley there on the south end of Millersburg and pushed it up through. But within a couple hours of being there last night, then it completely dissipated. We weren't smelling anymore. I think, you know, you could in spots, and then after a while you start getting a little nose blind to it of like, am I smelling it? Am I not? It feels like I smell it. So after that, after those first hour and a half, we weren't getting any more calls on it. We weren't smelling it. And so we just kind of come to that conclusion. It was from that initial well either blowing off or some type of leak, and, you know, then it was secured and had quit. So, yeah, a little hectic last night, and I know there was a lot of concern, but there was nothing. We didn't find any places, any residents or businesses that were at any dangerous levels. We did, you know, EMS went to a couple places that were having some issues. We didn't transport anybody. Everybody, you know, signed off and checked out okay. So fortunately, we didn't have any issues there. But yeah, everybody, you know, had, you know, like I said, Jason Troyer from EMA, Chief Shaner was there, and several from the fire department, and just we were going around just about everywhere at places I didn't know existed that had gas lines and pumps and.
Did you make a chart and a map so you know for next time?
We learned a lot about the landscape of the south end of Millersburg. So, it was, you know, I know there was a lot of talk about it and concern, and, you know, rightfully so. And you see these places now, everybody has security cameras. So when, you know, we get these house explosions, and those are usually from a leak inside that structure that causes it. And, you know, newer homes, they're sealed up so tight that that doesn't dissipate like maybe an older home would have, and you get that result. And, you know, like I said, we didn't find anything that was any close to any concern for that last night. And it wasn't inside any structure or any business. It was a well outside, and that we get those calls a lot. Wells will, they'll blow off every once in a while, and that's a safety for them. And you know, you get that just driving down the road, you'll smell it. And a lot of times that's what it's from. Obviously, we want to investigate anytime anybody calls that in. But most of our calls we find it come from those private wells or whatever that are doing something like that, a safety checkoff that kind of blows off some natural gas.
Well, thankfully, it wasn't anything that caused worse issues or anybody to be seriously sick. So that's positive.
Oh, definitely. So, yeah, it was... I'll probably put out an incident release on our Facebook page, just pretty much explaining the same thing, but just kind of wanted to put that out there. I know there's a lot of concern, and like I said, if anytime that there's a smell like that, or you know, if it's in your home, you want to get out. You don't want to be flipping on light switches and turning off breakers or doing anything. You just want to get out and stay out, and you know, let us figure out what's going on from there. And then obviously, you know, having symptoms from anything like that, you're going to have headache, some nausea, something like that. And then that's when you need to get EMS. And also, you know, with last night, we had a lot of people calling our station reporting it. I want to stress, like, anytime there's an emergency or anything like that, need to call 911, need to call the sheriff's department. That's who dispatches us. If we're out on a call or like we were, We don't have anybody there at the station to answer the phone and take your emergency call. So you have to call 911, call
the
sheriff's
office. That's what 911's for.
That's who's going to dispatch us and record any of the calls coming in. You know, if we're there, yeah, we'll take the call and go. But I would really encourage everybody to make sure they're just calling 911 or the sheriff's office, non-emergency line, if it's nothing too serious or they're just a concern, and let them dispatch us and go the proper route with it.
Because in case it would have been a more serious situation, having all of those phone calls would have been important to put together the scenario on how things were coming together. So,
yes. And, you know,
you need all of that together.
This incident would expand and be more than we can do ourselves. Then they're going to dispatch more resources. And that's where it's got to go through. It can't be just calling us. And I mean, that's the first thing on our answer machine is, if this is an emergency, hang up and dial 911. Don't leave a message at our station. Don't depend that somebody's going to be there to answer the phone. Because last night the crew was all out. Everybody else was there. Nobody was at the station to take a call.
Well, we are going to take a quick little break. We'll pop into ABC News and then we'll talk what's happening in the area for the fire department on WKLM. We're back here in the second half of your 8 a.m. hour. I have Chief Brian Rafferty from Holmes Fire District 1 with me here this morning. And you do need to bounce out of here a little early, so we're going to cut it a bit short today because we have fire prevention things to take care of. But there are some upcoming events for fire departments before our next time together here.
Yes, we have a couple things that... we're involved with here in Millersburg this Thursday, September 11th. We're doing the Memorial Stair Climb at the courthouse. This will be the fifth year that we've done it. We started on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Just a few of us walking the steps of the courthouse. We do 58 rounds is what equals the 110 stories of the World Trade Center. And last year, you know, last year was the first time we did it in the evening. We were doing it usually in the mornings. The 11th fell on the weekend or real close. And we did it during the time of, you know, when the attacks happened. Last year we did it in the evening and it, you know, it was a beautiful evening like the weather we've been having, and had a pretty good turnout to where we had you almost did a round and you had to wait to do a round on the steps because there was that many people. And kind of our goal at some point is there's enough people there that we do all three stairways at the courthouse and have them full of people walking. So we're hoping to see more people out there. That starts at 6 p.m. It's you don't have to register. You just show up. We just kind of get started. And if you want to go one round, you want to go walk the whole time, or you want to just stand and watch, you know, we encourage anybody who wants to come out. It's, you know, just a time to remember that day and, you know, reflect, you know, on the sacrifices that happened today that are still happening. There's still firefighters and everybody that worked down there for those months afterwards that are, you know, dying from cancer and, you know, the related illnesses and issues and mental issues from that day. So it just a little bit of time out of our day to think about them. And so we want to see as many people we can there. And I know there's other things going on in the village that night, so it should be a, you know, more of a reason to come down and
just hit them all.
Yeah, just hang out with us. And like I said, you can do as much or as little as you want. And we'll be there till everybody's done their round. Some of us walk until we do more than 58. We'll walk until everybody's done. And, you know, firefighters will come there in turnout gear, carrying an air pack, just like they would have, you know, on that day. We just encourage everybody to come down for that. And then we also, during the Antique Festival on Saturday, October 4th, we do our pancake and sausage breakfast at the fire station, and we start serving at 6 a.m. We're a little separated from out of downtown, so we just want to encourage everybody, you know, that morning they start the activities and come down there for breakfast. It's by donation only. That goes to the District 1 firefighters. District 1 firefighters, out of everybody's paycheck, $5 goes into the District 1 firefighters fund, and that's what we do these fundraisers for. And then we buy, you know, equipment for the fire department, raise money for the fire department. Let's, you know, talking about that gas leak today, we just, with the money we've raised through this and our own money that we give to it, we purchased another little more advanced gas monitor just a couple months ago. That was like a $5,000 monitor.
Good purchase.
Yeah. So, you know, we've had a couple. This one will detect a little bit more as far as chemical wise. But that's what we do with this money. That's what we raise. That's what money from our, like I said, $5 out of every paycheck, every firefighter puts into it every 2 weeks, is to buy these extra things or things that are a little bit above what the budget has for the year. So we can get, you know, we want to see everybody down there. And like I said, it's by donation. It's all you can eat, pancakes, sausage. We have eggs. We have a lot of local people that donate to that and help offset the cost of that. So we almost don't have anything out of pocket to pay for it. So we really appreciate them. And like I said, hope to see everybody there. That's October 4th, 6 a.m.
Bright and early. Yeah. So hit the fire department right on your way.
Yep. We usually go till like 10 or 11 o'clock. We start running out of stuff. So you want to get there. You don't have to be there at 6 a.m. You know, 7, 8 o'clock is kind of the peak. But we're usually good till about 11 a.m. We start running short on a few things. So, yeah, hope to see everybody there.
That's awesome. So some good events coming up, and October will be here before we know
it.
Oh,
yeah. You'll be calling me asking if I'm coming out in October, and I feel like I just left here.
It's because you love it out here. No, it's great that we're sharing information. Like, you were able to talk about the gas leak and yep, get that out. And so it's really important stuff, and you can share your events, and we're good.
I appreciate the time.
Well, thank you. That was Chief Brian Rafferty from the Holmes Fire District 1 here in Millersburg. And we are going to take a wee little break, and we'll be back. Still to come is Hometown Sports on WKLM.